Hello, everyone. Welcome into another episode of Kentucky Daily, a daily podcast covering your University of Kentucky Wildcats. I'm Sean Smith, joined by Derek Terry. Derek, Kentucky football improves to 2-0 on the year, 1-0 in SEC play. Mark Stoops is the winningest coach in Kentucky football history. Kentucky beats Florida for the second time or consecutive seasons. First time that's happened since 1977, 1978. There's a lot of notes, a lot of positives. Kentucky probably should be a top 10 team when the AP poll releases on Monday. Just a huge night in the swamp.
Yeah, I've been a little under the weather the last few days, so we didn't do a prediction episode, but I was going to pick Kentucky 26-16 in this one. I'm just saying I was going to pick the Cats to win by 10. No, I don't know. I probably would have picked Kentucky to win. I felt pretty good about it all week, really. At least I didn't really have the – nervousness that, you know, typically might have going into the swamp. I just felt different and still had those bad memories pop up some throughout the game tonight. But I don't, where do we start? Let's start with Stoops. Let's just start with the Joppies. Let's just start with him. Cause that to me, I mean, it's in the, you know, you get so week to week during the season that, I mean, we won't even be talking about this game probably, you know, 2 weeks from now. But in the grand scheme of things, a team that Kentucky could not beat for so many years, and then Stoops had his own just absolute heartbreakers against Florida to move into the top spot on Kentucky's wins list, all-time coaching wins list, by pitching a shutout in the second half in the swamp. I mean, that's got to be awesome for him.
Yeah, 19 unanswered points from the moment that Colin Goodfellow had to kick that ball through the back of the end zone that led to the safety to make it 16-7. But I thought the adjustments that Kentucky made at the half, you know, cleaning up some of the protection issues, they started moving dudes with that offensive line. Kavassier Smoke had a really good second half, ended up getting to 80 yards on the ground there on 14 carries. I thought the second half adjustments and what Kentucky did and going back and establishing that run game, cleaning some things up, I thought that was a massive adjustment.
Yeah, I mean – I felt, I don't know, it's easy to sit here and say now, but like the Anthony Richardson and Florida Love Fest was ridiculous, like over the last week. Utah's a solid team. I mean, I think we talked about them earlier in the week, maybe Tuesday or so. It was a good win. Like, I'm not going to talk bad about Florida's win over Utah, especially the first game under head coach. It was a great win. But like Dennis Dodd from CBS had Anthony Richardson as his best player in the country right now. And like this dude, I think what they say tonight, Sean, was his third start of his career.
Yeah.
Like what in the world were like, were these takes? It was ridiculous. And
then it flipped the script there in the second half. Oh, it's his third start.
Like, oh yeah. Like, ESPN was checking him big time there. I mean, Brad White and Mark Stoops had him in hell tonight, like pretty much 14 of 35, two interceptions. Obviously the very costly pick six that Kedron Smith, I mean, Sean, I don't know where you were watching the game, but I was sitting around the couch, and as soon as he threw that ball, it was like, that's taken back to the house. I mean, a terrible read.
Obviously, there were some throws that were near interceptions up until that point for Kentucky. You had a feeling that he was going to throw one to someone.
Yeah, and I mean, the fact that Kentucky was able to take it to the house, he also put it on the ground once. I think J.J. Weaver got to him in the backfield. He picked it up and actually ran it for a positive gain, but it was a very sloppy game. I mean, he only completed 40% of his passes, 143 yards passing. I want to say he only threw for like 168 last week, so it's not even like he threw the ball well against Utah. He just ran for three touchdowns. But overall, again, another game like you just got to – come to appreciate it, I guess, would be a way I would use, because Florida still outgained Kentucky.
They did, yeah.
Still got up to 70 rushing yards. What did UK have, like 2 yards rushing at halftime?
I think they were actually minus two.
Minus, okay. So,
well, I know that opening drive there, that first drive where they started getting the ground game going, they went from minus two to 47.
Yeah, so Smoke, I thought, had a terrible first half. They had one play that looked like he had a ton of room. He had to beat one guy. Excuse me, I'm going to probably be coughing a little bit throughout this, but I'm fighting through here at 11:30 on a Saturday night after the big one. He got tripped up on, you know, he had like one guy to beat to have a pretty big game. It came out in the second half, and give credit to the offensive line, started getting some push. I thought Lavelle Wright had some pretty hard-nosed runs. He didn't have a ton of space to operate with, but took care of the football. Smoke ended up with a pretty nice stat line, though, really, 14 for 80.
Yeah. Yeah, big-time effort from him, especially in the second half. I think you can go down the list here and name off a lot of guys. I mean, the play that Deion Walker made there, the stuff on the run there in the second half, Carrington Valentine, a guy that, you know, catches a lot of heat, especially in the past, and had a huge pass breakup there late in the game. You mentioned Kedron Smith's pick six. I mean, to Jordan Wright, the interception, some more incredible plays there defensively. Getting him back was huge. J.J. Weaver making plays. I mean, Kentucky showed up. Jock West-Jones always there making a play. Like, Kentucky, this was a total team effort. What about the use early in the game with the tight ends, Derek, and spreading the ball around to multiple tight ends there? I thought Scangarello had called an excellent game.
He did. Yeah, you mentioned the tight ends. Keaton Upshaw resurfaced tonight.
Yeah.
Two catches for 34 yards. Jordan Dingle, two catches, 29 yards. And then Brendan Bates had a catch for 11 yards. So what's that? It's five catches for 74 yards from those guys.
Dane Key's touchdown. We haven't even talked about that yet.
I mean, there's a lot of things. A tremendous play from a freshman wide receiver in that moment. Will put it where he needed to, and excuse me, that body control from Dane to go up and get that and bring it in, a really contested, tough catch. I mean, he actually didn't have a catch after that, I don't think, but he actually might have one more catch after that.
Yep.
A tremendous play from a freshman in the Swamp. Gave me some, not in the same way, but I was thinking, I had to go look it up because Garrett Johnson, I was like, who was the last freshman in their first SEC game to have a game like this? And Garrett Johnson went off in the Swamp back in 2014. But Dane, he came down with Kentucky's only touchdown reception of the night. They only scored one other on the Will Levis rush. And, well, of course, the pick six. But offensively, they only had two touchdowns. But, Sean, I want to mention one more guy who I thought showed up huge tonight on a third down. Chauncey Magwood had a 25-yard reception on a third down. He ended up missing a block on the same drive that probably would have gone for a huge gain, Tavion Robinson. So they'll get that cleaned up. But in terms of a guy who – you know, one of the emphases I would have talked about had we had a pregame episode would have been Will Levis on third down. And UK wasn't great, only 4 of 13, but Will had a couple big throws. And for Magwood to be one of those guys who came up, I mean, caught a touchdown pass last week. Maybe he's a guy that I thought he'd be in the rotation this year, but he's showing up in some pretty big moments so far early in the season.
He has. And I'm trying to remember the play last week where the ball was deflected, and then Kentucky ended up making a catch on it. Who was it caught that ball?
That was DeMarcus Harris last week.
So it was flipped this week. It was DeMarcus Harris off his hands and Magwood, and Magwood caught the ball. So, no, Kentucky, I thought that was one of the first breaks, you know, to kind of go Kentucky's way there, and that was a big play in itself. And Kentucky's got a collection of talent at wide receiver that's making plays, and those guys are just going to keep getting better. When you look up and, you know, Barry and Brown wasn't an impact tonight. Tavion Robinson wasn't a huge impact tonight. And Kentucky still gets a 10-point win in the Swamp. And you mentioned that you were going to pick Kentucky 26-16. I think that I said on our preseason predictions episode, I'm pretty sure that I said that I picked Kentucky by 10 on our preseason episode back in July. And I couldn't really tell you why. I just felt, I was like, you know, this just feels like a game in a series that Kentucky's just shifted momentum, winning 3 of 5. We know what this win does for Kentucky the last two times it's happened. What does it do for Kentucky now? If we're going to put all this weight into Florida's win versus Utah, if that's how we view Utah, so what happens after this game, Derek? Does the perception of Florida change, or does the perception of Kentucky change, or is it a little bit of both?
I'm going to say the critics or the people are going to focus more on Anthony Richardson more than they're going to give credit to Kentucky. I would almost be certain that his performance will be discussed much more. I think for Kentucky, what you're looking at now is, you know, as long as they don't, I mean, it would take a major letdown to lose to Youngstown State next week. But if the speculation or reports on Chris Rodriguez are accurate, that it would be no more than a 3 to 4 game suspension, you're kind of viewing that as the last tough game that you weren't going to have Chris. And yeah, if you get a fresh Chris Rodriguez going down to Ole Miss, like, I felt like Kentucky needed to win one of these road games, either Ole Miss or at Florida. And I felt like Ole Miss might be an easier game. Maybe, I don't know if that'll prove to be true or not. We'll see. I mean, I think you'd be feeling pretty good, man. Like, this opened the door for him the last few years. It's a big SEC East win. And again, it's still early in the season, so I don't want to, like, go overboard with some of these reactions. But Missouri looked awful. They got destroyed by Kansas State. South Carolina played a pretty good team in Arkansas on the road. I didn't expect them to win, but they didn't really look all that great either. They had their moments, but certainly at home, a game I think you would expect Kentucky to win. And then, of course, Vanderbilt, still Vanderbilt, an improved team, I think. Might even win an SEC game this year. But, I mean, Tennessee picked up a huge win on the road at Pitt, and I feel like it's kind of what we thought going into the year, right? Like,
well,
Georgia's great, and then will it be Kentucky or Tennessee behind them? And I think through 2 weeks, it's kind of held serve.
Kentucky's highest ranking in the AP poll and has been what?
You know that seven? I mean, like, I don't –
I think seventh. Was it the South Carolina road trip that year in 2007, or was it after they beat LSU? I don't remember, but that's the highest I remember it ever being.
I think it was
seven. So I'm gonna call it. Kentucky will be higher than seventh when they travel to Ole Miss here in a few weeks.
I guess you'll figure out what you were talking about, what the narrative would be with Florida or Kentucky and all that stuff. Like, you'll probably find out by the voters.
Yep.
Because they were quick to crown Florida's ass after
they were Utah. So I mean, if Florida's sitting at 12 right now, you've had, obviously, Texas A&M has lost, Notre Dame has lost. I mean, Kentucky, if that's how we view Utah, like, if that's what the voters thought of Utah, dropping them a few spots there, moving Florida all the way up to 12th, then I think that Kentucky has to be at least 11, I would say, on Monday. And then you just kind of let the movement happen throughout college football. I mean, this is a team that could be sitting pretty here with four wins in a couple of weeks and traveling to Ole Miss for another monster SEC matchup where they can do something that they haven't done in a long time, which is win an SEC West road game. There's a lot to play for. Like, you know that this team's coming back to Lexington tonight feeling really good about where it's at. Mark Stoops, they're going to get a lot of love on the SEC network this week. You know, Paul Feinbaum, a lot of people, Roman Harper, all those guys that were talking about Kentucky being soft, and Kentucky was anything but that tonight in the Swamp. I think it's a massive win, another huge step for the program. Think of this, 12-26 is what Mark Stoops was through two games in 2016. I tweeted this a moment ago. I would not have believed you if you'd have told me that on September 10th, 2022, that Mark Stoops would be the all-time winningest coach in Kentucky football history. I would have doubted it even more, Derek, if you'd have told me that it would have happened in the Swamp. And here we are, 6 years later. He's got 61 wins. Kentucky is a solidified top 15 football program right now, one of the better programs in the SEC, especially in the SEC East. Who would have thought this?
I can remember sitting in the press box about New Mexico State game, and I was like, man, like, I was legitimately like wondering who Kentucky might hire, because it was awful. Like, it felt hopeless. Yeah, New Mexico State was a really bad team. I think they were still in the WAC back then, so they were at least affiliated with the conference. They're actually independent now. But the defense, which was supposed to be Stoops' baby back then, it was just had nothing, couldn't stop anybody. And lo and behold, that's the game Benny Snell comes onto the scene. And, you know, as they say, the rest is kind of history. Has Stoops been perfect at Kentucky? No. I'd like to have seen a few more wins over the Vols. Honestly, and I tweeted this, and I mean it. Like, Florida is lucky to have a winning record against Stoops. 14, 17, 19. Kentucky probably should have won all those games. And what would that have put up? 6 wins, 6-4, most likely, right? I think because he's played them 10 times now. So, I mean, it's been a tremendous turnaround. And the thing, too, that I feel like a lot of the media coverage from national and even SEC media who cover college football, like, I felt like they were missing the point a bit on Kentucky by labeling this as, like, the year that if Kentucky was going to win the SEC, they had to do it now. Because they just signed the best class in school history, and you saw those guys show up tonight. Some of them, Deion Walker, had a huge third down stop. Alex Zafari has been in the mix the last 2 weeks. I'm probably forgetting other people, but, and it's not to say that my thing is like, why is this year anymore? Is it because people know Will Levis's name? Is it because they know Chris Rodriguez? I don't know, but like, this team's not perfect, but think of how many young guys are there. Like, the look at the offensive line. That's probably a group that you would hope by the end of the year is playing much better because they're going to gel more. And three or four of those guys are going to be back most likely next year.
Well, and I actually – so the second half was very encouraging to me. And I think and a lot of – I mean, the offensive line has been an issue through at least the first six quarters of the season, but there were some issues tonight that weren't the offensive line. It was just pass protection from your running backs. I know Lavelle Wright got blew up there on a play early that led to the Kentucky turnover. So there was some protection issues across the board. But I saw some stuff in the second half tonight that it wasn't just – to me, it's not that they're young. I just think it was lack of experience for some guys. I think that by the time they get to that game at Ole Miss, I think they're going to have some of the issues worked out. And I credit to Zach Enser. I think they made great adjustments there at the half and in the second half. I thought they looked a lot better. And I'm not as worried about the offensive line now as I was going into half. Like, I feel like the second half, they started pushing some guys around. They started being physical. Kentucky got going on the ground. An area that if you had told me this going into the game, my biggest concern was if Kentucky has a lead late in the swamp, that's where Chris Rodriguez would have made his biggest impact. They didn't have him, and they still were able to close the game out. I know they missed the field goal there in the fourth, and then they end up Matt Ruffalo ended up putting the second one there through, and they end up winning by 10. Hear me out on this, though. I was thinking tonight, obviously Louisville's the hated rival. Kentucky fans also hate Tennessee when you're talking rivals. This is Kentucky's best rivalry on the schedule right now. And I think because now that they're winning games in this series, but it's also how competitive this series has been under Mark Stoops. I think this is, to me, the best rivalry on the schedule.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, that's an interesting take. I hadn't really thought of it that way.
If we're talking competitiveness.
Hey, how much do you –
to me, that's a robbery.
I agree. How much do you think the spot on the schedule plays a role into that? Because it feels like a lot of years it's like one of their first big games too.
I think that certainly helps. I think it's the first one that fans really get fired up about and excited about. Like, I mean, Kentucky football fans were excited last week that it was football season, but I felt like this was the week where everybody was like, all right, now this is really football season. It's SEC, it's Kentucky, Florida. And I think Kentucky fans are kind of enjoying the success against the Gators. And I think that certainly has helped. Last year, the game was in October. It had that big buzz and feel to it. And I just think that this is going to be one that, you know, this series, it's going to keep going on and on here. And I think it's going to be a competitive one as you continue moving forward. I think it moves into significant rivalry status, not only on Kentucky's side, but I think it's starting to move on in Florida's side as well. I mean, that's three times in 5 years that Florida fans have gone home probably thinking, what the hell just happened? But you're no longer surprised that Kentucky's beating Florida. Like, that's what has solidified it as an actual rivalry. And to me, that's Kentucky's rival on the SEC East right now. That it should be Tennessee too, but they got to start beating Tennessee more often than what they have been.
Yeah, I think you're talking about legitimizing, like, doing those things. Like, you're right. Like, Florida, you know what? A lot of the things I saw when I was, like, kind of scanning their message board, that was like, Dan Mullen's giving these boys way too much confidence at Kentucky. And, like, it's true. Like, he was the only coach, you know, in 30-something years that had lost at Kentucky. But now, like –
and it was building, though, before that, wasn't it? They couldn't cash in.
Oh, I mean, they should have beaten Muschamp and they should have beaten McElwain. Like, there were two Florida teams, I think, that went 4-8 that beat Kentucky last second.
Look, I mean, that streak had no business getting to the number that it did. Like, you could go back 15 years and it had no business being what it was.
Hey,
it
don't
was
get me wrong. I mean, there were some ass beatings in there. Like, I mean, obviously the
there were.
Love was before my time, but even Urban, like, that was a – I mean, you remember 08 with Rich Brooks? Like, just
oh, I was
losing a shit on Steve Wertmeyer. Like,
yeah,
I mean, that was bad.
I was sitting there the final time that Tebow came to Lexington, and it was already like 30 something to nothing with 3 minutes left in the first quarter. And I was like, shit, I was like, I might as well just get in the car and go back home. I'd be there before the game's over.
I mean, I think if you're like Florida, I don't know. I think losing to Kentucky, like, for these, like, big football schools, man, it, like, breaks them whenever they lose to Kentucky. I mean, so I happened to LSU last year. Like, I think that was probably going to be Orgeron's fate regardless. But that, again, that solidified it. Like, oh, well, you lost to Kentucky, so now you got to go. Every coach that's lost to Kentucky at Tennessee has gotten fired, right? I mean, I think Dooley may get one more year after. But Jones and both got fired.
And all that positivity around Billy Napier and the program, you know, just, 7 days ago after that win versus Utah. I mean, they've been the national talk.
Oh, yeah.
This week. And then
it was a perfect win spot, and it was a perfect spot for Kentucky to be in because they've played that so well.
It was. Now, let's say Florida had lost to Utah, and let's say they lost to them by touchdown 10 points. And then you probably could have seen Kentucky be the betting favorite going into this game. Then – Rowan Harper wouldn't have been saying Kentucky was soft. And then you wouldn't have had all the other things that was being said and all the, you know, kind of the bulletin board material that was given to Mark Stoops. Going into this season, Kentucky did not have a chip on its shoulder. They were getting a lot of, you know, positive love and stuff from national media. They were in both polls to open the season, a position that Kentucky hadn't been in. The best thing that ever happened to this team was Florida doing what it did to Utah, getting the positive and all the stuff said about them in the media, jumping 19 spots in the AP poll, going ahead of Kentucky, Kentucky not moving. I know Miami, Ohio is not a huge win, but then opening as almost a touchdown underdog on the road in Gainesville, being called soft, that put the chip back on Kentucky's shoulder, being without Chris Rodriguez. All those things, I think, played in Kentucky's favor, and Kentucky got to go back to a role where it was familiar and where it feels comfortable. Now, that changes some as you go throughout the next few weeks. I could see Kentucky being a favorite on the road at Ole Miss here in a few weeks.
You know, there were some really, like, bad analysis, I thought, from college football people looking at this game. They were just like, oh, Kentucky rushed for 50 yards against Miami, Ohio. Well, they're not going to win. You know, and it wasn't that simple, huh? I mean, I don't know. I felt better about it, I guess, than what the national people did. And I mean, it took a big play from Kedron Smith there, obviously, to kind of get him out front and help him out. But I mean, I'm trying to think, is there anyone else we need to give credit to? I mean, Brad White. I mean, I know we mentioned him a little bit. Like, you're looking at, so second half stats for Florida. 91 yards. Obviously, they didn't score, but 91 yards. They averaged 2.5 yards per rush. Only had 32 rushing yards overall. One interception on 8 of 18 passing for 59 yards, and went for it 3 times on fourth down. Converted once, and I think that was on the very last drive. And it was so. I mean, they were 0-for-2 on the ones that really mattered. And they averaged less than 3 yards per play in the second half. I mean, just a terrific job. And then for Kentucky too, let's see, how many times Kentucky only threw it 9 times in the second half. So they didn't really have to do much. I mean, Will Levis started off great. Well, he started like 9 for 10 for like 148 yards. Didn't really have to throw it a whole lot there afterwards, and still finished with 202 passing yards. So for him, 87 yards last year on 7 of 17. He makes a jump this year, has that big throw. But they did enough. And that's the thing about Kentucky. Like, we know it's not always going to be sexy, but they're going to find a way. And they play team football. And two of the three phases of that I thought were good enough. Defense, certainly. Offense, I thought, did enough. Special teams was a big letdown. And, Sean, we've seen a lot of times that cost teams in the SEC on the road. So, to me, that speaks even more maybe about the resilience of this team, because – you give up 2 points basically on a bad snap. You give up 1 point on a bad snap, or a snap that wasn't great. Maybe could have been held a little better, but again, like, overall, it wasn't very clean. So you lose out on an extra point there.
Florida's only touchdown, you spot them really good field position with the turnover. Like, or Florida might not even – they might not even made it to the end zone if it hadn't been for that play.
Yeah. So, really odd because the special teams are so good the week before. Who knows?
Last year it was dodging the turnover margin, right? Like, that was the storyline. Yes. Like, how was Kentucky 4-0 with the one of the worst turnover margins in you know, college football? Well, tonight special teams play was horrible. And then for the entire first half, pass protection wasn't good. Like, and Kentucky was at a spot down 16-7. It felt like danger zone because you could kind of feel like, okay, you're on the road here. There's 90,000 people. Your offensive line's not playing well. Your quarterback's getting crushed. You have no run game. In steps Jordan Wright with an unbelievable defensive play that shifted momentum. And that's what, to me, really sparked Kentucky. But you didn't have any sense of panic throughout the Kentucky sideline. I don't know what fans were feeling, but it kind of felt like it was teetering there for a bit. But then you have guys make plays, like Jordan Wright stepping up and making a play, sets Kentucky up, they get in the end zone. And then you look up and it's 16-13 at the half. And then next thing you know, it's all Kentucky from there. I didn't feel like there was any sense of panic. When you look at Mark Stoops and everything on the sidelines, it was, you know, business as usual. They were just sticking to what their game plan was. They made those adjustments. And the next thing you know, Kentucky had all the momentum in the second half. Kedron Smith, Florida's driving, and he gets the pick six.
I mean,
I give the defense an A. I think it's an A+, honestly.
I mean, Florida broke what's their longest run? They had that 40-yard run, Montrell Johnson in the first half, got loose. ETN had a 15-yard run. But in general, like, it felt like they were, you know, you felt good, you know, about Kentucky stopping the ground game. And Richardson, you know, nothing. Did he get sacked? Once. One sack. I don't remember it. But, I mean, his running ability was something he really had to key in on, and they had a great plan for him. I mean, again, like, you can't – the one negative thing, negative in the sense that it's probably going to cost the kid a season, Jalen Geiger suffered a very bad leg injury.
Yeah.
He kind of knew right from the start that it was bad, and it's unfortunate because it came on a blindside block. I'm not saying the kid from Florida, you know, I don't think his intent was to – take Geiger out for the season, but it is unfortunate that it happened on an illegal play. So thoughts out to Jalen, because he's a player I like a whole lot, and he took over a starting role at the end of last season, but this was kind of his, you know, chance to come out and play a full year. And unfortunately for him, it looks like it's going to be cut short. But Weaver led the team in tackles. And again, he was another guy that Florida fans had a lot of fun with because he's always kind of talking about Florida. Had those Kyle Pitts comments a few years ago. And then this year, I don't think it was anything bad, but he said something about, like, I don't know, I don't want to take this out of context. I think he said something about not being too worried about Richardson, and fans being fans took that to use that as motivation. But Weaver came out,
backed it up,
played great. Jaquez Jones, I thought, had an excellent game as well. And how about this, Sean? I didn't even really realize this as it was going on, but in terms of just the numbers, Jordan Lovett, who replaced Geiger, he comes in tied for second with 7 tackles.
Yeah, and another defensive note too, after not playing last week, it was good to see Trevin Wallace out there.
Yes, good point.
On the field. So I thought that was another positive thing to see, is especially as the season progresses and goes along, he's certainly going to be making plays. But getting Jordan Wright back opposite J.J. Weaver there, I thought that was big as well. So Kentucky's defense, Brad White, I think you got to give the game ball there. You know, Will Levis answered the bell. That throw that he made to Key there in the first half, it kind of – I was thinking once they got to that spot on the field, they've been doing a lot of stuff underneath. They've been, you know, hitting plays with the tight ends, not really taking chances downfield. I was like, okay, it was this area of the field here 4 years ago where Terry Wilson hit Lynn Bowden with a deep ball. So I thought Kentucky was getting close to taking a shot. They did. And how about it? In-state kid Dane Key, he smacks the water balls together just like Cash Daniel did a few years ago. So maybe that's a tradition that's starting up now. When Kentucky wins in Gainesville, a Kentucky kid does it. So a lot of cool things tonight. It's going to be a good week. Maybe we can get to a mailbag this week since we didn't get to do one near the end of the week last week. I feel like maybe Youngstown State's the perfect week to kind of maybe answer some questions. And and get into all that. But Kentucky's 2-0, 1-0 in the SEC. The SEC East, I know Tennessee picked up a win in overtime versus Pittsburgh. I know Alabama survived that scare versus Texas. What are your thoughts on the SEC and how it looks right now? Is Georgia the new number one team in the country, or does Alabama State hold serve there?
I think Alabama just finding a way to win. I don't know that it really matters at this point where you put those teams. We all expect they'll probably get their chance to play in Atlanta. I'm fine with Alabama staying at number one. Sheesh, A&M, that was bad.
Yeah, very bad.
I thought Tennessee, that was a tough win. Pittsburgh, that's turned into a really good home environment up there. I was really impressed watching them play West Virginia, just kind of how jazzed up everybody was there. Pitt was down. I don't think their starting quarterback played at all in the second half, and it went into overtime. But that's a big win, though. They're still just in year two of Heupel. I would expect they'll have a pretty good season. I think they should beat Florida as well, especially with it being in Knoxville. I really think that, it's going to be – like we've said, we hope that game against Georgia matters when Kentucky plays them in November. But in terms of making it matter, that game against Tennessee is probably going to be one of the biggest games on the schedule. And again, that'll change. Every game is so important. I think Stoops has said that a few times, and he's right. What game is more important than the other? And he's you got to keep winning them for them to really be important. So, as far as the rest of the SEC, I don't know. Kentucky finding a way to win this game back to back years. We don't have much time left here, but the one thing I did want to mention, what I hope this can do is, it's kind of jumpstarting a little bit more in recruiting, whether that's with the portal or with high school guys. I understand they're not going to be recruiting portal guys right now, most likely, but winning a game like this on the road.
Yeah.
A lot of hype for this game.
Prime time spotlight.
Right. And it just continues to build your brand, and doing that should help. It legitimizes your program. Being able to beat these, thinking about DeAndre Square, dude, and some of these other guys who are in their fifth year, they're going to leave Kentucky with a winning record against Florida. One else, how many other players can even who played at Kentucky in the last 30 years even beat Florida? Very few. And he's part of a team that he's going to leave college. He can say whatever he wants to Florida people because he was on teams, that won three of them. So I'm not sure who else even falls into that category. But good for him. And guys now those true sophomores and redshirt freshmen that are 2-0. So, over time.
How many quarterbacks are going to finish 2-0 versus Florida?
Good point, too. Well, that's right, Levis. So, yeah, Levis is part of that, transfer. He's a transfer guy, but these freshmen redshirt, it starts to establish – not you're going to beat Florida every single year because they're not, but,
No.
It's not it's a fluke anymore, and it shouldn't be, They still need to get to that point with a few other teams. Obviously, they haven't beaten Georgia yet. That's a whole different monster compared to what you're talking about with the Florida team under the first year of a new head coach. But, this should give this team confidence going on the road to play some of these good teams in the SEC that you don't have to play your A-plus game, and you can still find a way to ground out wins. And I thought this was just a phenomenal team victory. And to shut out Florida on the road in the swamp, there were days that I – legitimately thought Kentucky may never beat this team, especially in 2017 when they left guys wide open. And the fact that they're walking out of there with back-to-back wins over the Gators is stuff that for a lot of people who listen to this podcast, you could only used to dream about things like this. And Stoops has kind of made that a reality now.
Oh, if you've been listening to this podcast, you just got to go back 2 years to where it was that game versus Florida in the swamp, the game where J.J. Weaver got hurt and Florida kind of ran away with it, where we were talking about that Kentucky was kind of in a spot where we knew that Eddie Graham was going to be fired, but we were questioning where the program was headed even after the success that they'd had, especially at quarterback and at wide receiver. Now you look up, you got Will Levis, you're fresh off another 10-win season, you're now going to have a chance to probably move towards the top 10 of the AP poll, and you have a 2-year winning streak versus Florida. So a lot's changed just listening to this podcast. A lot has changed since those days. Kentucky's obviously gone through now two offensive coordinators since then, but two very good ones. And I think that Scangarello is obviously earning a reputation there through two games. I thought he called a brilliant game tonight. And I look forward to seeing where Kentucky goes from here, Derek. But I think that pretty much wraps up everything that we're going to get to on this post-game episode. We wanted to get this thing out there to you tonight. A lot of excitement, and we'll be back this week for more Kentucky football coverage and maybe some basketball talk as well, depending on what happens. I would say the full basketball schedule will be available very soon. We do have the SEC slate now, so we'll get to that at some point as well. But as always, this show is powered by Blue Wire Pods. It's also powered by the Butcher's Pub. Three locations, Palmville, Williamsburg, and London, Kentucky. You can visit thebutcherspub.com or check them out on Facebook. He's Derek Terry. I'm Sean Smith. We'll catch you next time on Kentucky Daily.